This is the audio recording for the Candia Planning Board meeting for May 17, 2023, Part 1 of 2.
Recording in progress.
The Candia Planning Board meeting of May 17, 2023 in session at 7 o'clock p.m. Would you all please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The roll call, Rudy here. Mark's excused. Brian?
Here.
Judy's excused. Scott?
Here.
Tim?
Here.
Kevin?
Here.
Mike Gay is excused. Mike Santa is absent. And Linda?
Here.
And just for the record, Linda is going to be sitting in for Mark tonight. All right, thank you all for coming. We'll get started right away. The new business informational hearing, potential major site plan, applicant owner, the Rooster Knuckle, LLC, Raymond Road, Candia, New Hampshire, 03034, property location, Raymond Road, Candia, New Hampshire, 03034, map 409, lot 122-1, intent to request an owner-occupied business on this commercially zoned lot. Come on up.
What's appropriate? We stand here?
No, sit down.
Yeah, sit down. Seat.
Make it comfortable.
That's right. We're not that mean.
He might be, but no.
My name's Tony King.
Tony?
This is Rebecca King.
Okay.
Rebecca's my daughter. We represent the LLC. So I guess the reason we're here tonight is to understand what our options are with the LLC with respect to being commercially zoned. And what the owners would really like to do is have a residence there as well, so that it's kind of like an owner-owned,
owner-occupied business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just so the board and you all know that this area is zoned commercial, mm-hmm. and under Article 15, Section 15.04F, it does allow for a dwelling unit to be in a commercial structure.
It does.
It does.
See, we didn't want to get too far down this path and the expense of all the plans and everything, yep. And then hit a roadblock and find out that it wasn't.
Nope. It does require ZBA, though. It does require the zoning board.
No.
No.
Oh, okay.
Nope.
I thought it did.
It doesn't. No.
Maybe I misread.
I jumped the gun, though.
I thought I misread the zoning ordinance.
Because that's...
Well...
There's probably half use. And half resident and commercial as it
Isn't
is right
special,
now.
Depends on the way you look in the zoning ordinance.
Yeah, okay.
If you look at Section 15, oops, wow.
Where was I looking?
Hidden way in the back under Section 1504 specific exception uses. It says in Section F, dwelling and buildings used for commercial purposes, one dwelling unit may be built in a commercial building provided that when the building is in a commercial district and is being used for commercial purposes. Two, that the commercial use will not be hazardous to health and safety of the occupants. Mm-hmm. I would imagine you probably wouldn't know about that.
No.
And no other residential buildings exist on the lot. So,
those are the only restrictions. One building.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, but I think the special exemption conditions, I think that is ZBA, though. I read that. I put two sections together and read that those had to be ZBA. I could be wrong in all.
You might be right. Let me just check in off the front here.
If I'm right, you mind calling my wife and telling her?
You might be right.
We'll put it in the calendar.
Write that one down.
I looked in the where was it here too?
Table of use.
It's not in there. I thought it was in there. That's okay. Something else. Okay. Yes. Yep. Tim is absolutely correct. the Board of Adjustment may authorize. So, oh, I know what I was looking at. I was looking at the multifamily, I'm sorry. So, yeah, the only thing that you need, well, the thing you would need to do is to just make an application to the Zoning Board of Adjustment, looking for a specific, for a special exception for, under section 15.04, F.
Now, this is in addition to the application that we'll submit to the planning board?
Correct. Yeah, you go to the ZBA first.
You go there first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and, I don't see it being a problem because it's in the zoning ordinance that it's allowed, and I don't think you're looking anything in particular that would be out of the ordinance.
No, nothing extravagant. I think we're looking at a ranch.
What's that, sorry?
Just a ranch. I mean, nothing extravagant.
If you don't mind me asking, what's the commercial?
Well, they haven't fully decided yet. They've got a few ideas, but it all depends on what the possibilities are with the property.
And usually what happens in here is that there's another section in here that basically says the residential use can't be any bigger than the commercial use. So, like, for example, if you had the first floor was commercial use, the second floor was residential, then it meets the requirements.
I think this property was originally approved by the previous owner for like a four-bay garage-type unit that could be rented out.
It was.
And I think
at the corner on Langford Road in Raymond Road?
Yeah. And so they're looking at something like that, as well as putting a ranch-style home there as well, so you'd have the combination of the two.
So definitely would be smaller than the commercial.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So the housing isn't incorporated into the business structure. It's a separate entity.
Right. Yeah, okay. I think they're looking at two separate.
I don't think there's a requirement on that.
Is there a size limitation?
Yeah. There is. The building is in the commercial district and is being used for commercial purpose. First sentence. One dwelling unit may be built in a commercial building, provided that.
Ah.
So it would have to be.
Touched.
But it sounded like an additional building was allowed, though, that a residence was allowed. It didn't have to be part of the commercial building.
You'd have to talk to the ZBA on the interpretation of that.
Okay.
My interpretation, from what I've seen in the past, is that it would have to be in the same building.
I disagree.
Because we did that when we were looking at the mixed
what that is saying, it's allowed to put it in the same building, but I don't think it's a requirement.
I think there's a lot of examples in Candy on that same stretch of road where you do have separate owner homes and the business.
Yeah. That's what it was originally. It was all residential.
Right. Yeah. I would bring that up to the ZBA just to make sure.
Yeah, we will.
Because
we will appreciate it.
Brian has a good point where if you look at it from a standpoint of strictly looking at it the way that it's written, it could be interpreted as either that, well, you can do
can be part of the same structure.
A dwelling unit should be part of it, or is it just allowing the fact that you can have a unit, but it's going to be on the building? So I think that would be probably something that we'd let the ZBA make a determination on for.
All right.
Is that property for sale? I think there's still a for sale sign there, isn't there?
It just hasn't been taken down, but it was purchased.
Okay. Yes.
And all the rocks have something to do with?
Oh, there's a lot of rocks there.
Was that you digging that out? Okay.
Yeah. Welcome to Candy.
Yeah. I mean, that's all part of it, too, is understanding the ledge.
There's tons of ledge.
Yeah. Oh, it's incredible.
The septic in and everything. Yeah. There is a lot of ledge.
How many acres is that piece of land?
Just over five, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like 5.2, I think.
It goes up in the back or not?
Yeah, I mean, it's up and then it kind of goes down and then a little up, but not.
I think there's part of that property that is deemed steep slope.
Oh, really?
At least it says so on the GIS that part of it is, if I got the lot number right, but there might be part of it that is deemed steep slope.
Yeah, I don't know what the definition would be for that, but it does. It goes down to a small stream in the back, it looks like, and then there's a hill, but not. I mean, elevation doesn't change probably more than 10 or 15 feet.
Yeah, but there were two lots side by side. You know, like one was -1 and one was not -1. So I might have gotten the -1 conflated with -1,
right.
But I did see steep slope somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Just just something to be.
So yeah, you check with Amy, get on the ZBA agenda.
So that would be our next step to go to the, would we have the plans and everything by then or?
No.
Okay.
You don't need all of the plans done to go to the ZBA to get a special exception. You just need to know, you know, if you had a sketch or something like that, I mean, that would, anything that you can do to help them understand what you're doing.
Okay.
But what you're just looking for in this particular case is just.
And you don't have to spend thousands at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Just what you're doing is just making sure that, and like I said, I mean, it's in the zoning ordinance, so I don't see a problem with it.
Right.
That you can do it, but like I said, make sure that you get that interpretation from them, which actually would help us if we had an interpretation from them that we know that there's a precedence that's set. Because Brian's right, you know, may, shall, should.
Yeah. What does his mean?
Yeah. And again, there are examples, I think, in town where it's been allowed. So I don't see it as an issue.
No.
I think we're pretty well set then.
Yeah.
I guess. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
All right. You're good. Like I said, just check with Amy, and she can get you on.
She'll help you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Good catch, Tim. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Because I just looked through your things. I was like, yeah, it's a lot of other.
Well, I was sitting there tonight going through and.
Yeah, that's a good point, Brian. I like that. I like that.
I think that's what they're doing. It's just giving you the flexibility. Yeah, if you want to do all the
second or fourth Tuesday or something.
I would think so. But you know,
I don't think it's going to be a problem.
Well, when they don't have much going on, they
might like to see something in there.
That's what up and down that whole strip is.
That would be the end of May, but we're getting close to the end of May, and there's nothing on the schedule.
And it's on Ontario Road, so.
I think it's the second or fourth Tuesday.
Perfect.
That's fair. All right, the next item of business under new business, and actually it's kind of like old business, but we'll consider it new. Nate Miller, Southern New Hampshire Planning Commission, an update on the capital improvements plan.
All right. Well, when we last met, we said we would reach out again to department heads and see if there were any additional capital improvement projects that should or could be submitted. To reflect the needs of the different departments. In front of you, you have a few different things. You may not.
Well, here, there's some here.
Yeah, some right here.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, okay.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. So the first is a packet of additional applications. So you all got a big, thick packet of applications at the last meeting. These are a couple more applications that have come in based on that additional outreach that we did to the department heads. So there are two from the police department and one from solid waste. So solid waste is for the replacement of a telehandler unit.
Is that like telemedicine?
Well, it's kind of like a long-armed forklift used to move containers around, waste containers. And two from the police department, one of them is an annual project, basically a cruiser replacement each year based on the size of the police department's fleet. You want to basically stagger the replacement of those vehicles so that you don't have a bubble where they're all reaching the end of their useful life at the same time. So basically an annual project to replace each vehicle in the fleet over the entire length of the CIP. And then lastly, another one from the police department for body camera replacements. They purchased the body cameras back, in 2022, beginning of 2022. I'm not sure exactly what the useful life is. My assumption is that it's a 7-year useful life. The chief did not put what exact year the replacement. I have it on the summary sheet as 2029, but we can talk with the chief about what all he said was between 2027 and 2029, but I don't know exactly what the useful life is. But obviously, when the cameras reach the end of their useful life, they should be replaced. And
boy, those aren't cheap, huh?
Not a bit.
No.
How many are we looking for?
Probably like seven, I know.
Their 5-year useful life is probably a good expectation for us.
Yeah, it wasn't specified in. I know he was going to inquire with the manufacturer on that, so we can talk with the chief about exactly what the useful life period is. But those were the three additional applications that came in. I have given you all this big 11x17 sheet. This is not a capital improvement plan per se. This is just a summary spreadsheet kind of what came in. These are each of the applications, basically. In the case of the cruisers, you see I break it out year by year because it's an annual project. In the case of the ambulance, you see I broke out both defibrillators separately, even though they were on one application. That one application was actually for the replacement of two defibrillators. Each in different years. So overall, this is what was requested. Through all the applications we received, these were the capital improvement projects that were put forward. And so now comes the interesting part, the fun part, which is it's time to take stock of these applications and for you as a board to kind of evaluate these applications. We have this set of criteria that we developed early on in the process that we will use to evaluate the different projects, but essentially it's time for you all as a board. This is what came in from all the departments. This is what's been proposed for capital improvements. And now it's time to walk through each of those and determine whether or not you as a board feel like, yep, this is an important project that needs to happen in this 2024 to 2029 time period, or nope, we don't see it's an important project because it doesn't meet these criteria, or maybe you see one of these projects as needing to happen sooner or later on this list than the department heads did. My suggestion for you to do that would be maybe over the next couple of meetings to reserve a portion of the agenda on your next couple of meetings to meet with one or two of these department heads at each of your meetings. Your time with Jeff will take the longest because Jeff's probably got the most projects to walk through. But
Brian, I'll throw this towards you. So Tower Hill Road reconstruction is on here. Wasn't that approved?
This is a future phase of
this
that.
This is for 24.
This is phase two of
that.
This is phase three.
You'll see a lot of the
this
way
year it has already been approved.
You'll see a lot of that. Jeff's approach to this, which has a logic to it, as you look through here, $200,000, $250,000 projects don't get you very far when you're doing full depth reconstruction.
Right.
Quarter mile, maybe 1,500 feet, if you've got materials and stores and stuff like that. So you're not doing an entire road. You're sort of chipping away at a road. A quarter mile or 1,500 feet at a time.
Takes a long time.
It takes a long time. And so what you see here is like look at North Road, for instance. There's three different North Road projects, which are basically phases where he's going to pick up where the last one left off and keep going. Pick up where the last one left off and keep going. That's what Tower Hill is. It's picking up where the current project is going to leave off, in a future phase, basically.
Can I ask you a quick question, Nathan? You might have said it and I just missed it. Why are those two lines highlighted in yellow?
We removed that first one. How come you put it on there?
I put it on there just to show you that it was applied for. We
told you to get it out.
I know. Look in my notes. The project is a maintenance expense rather than a capital improvement. I just being comprehensive.
You have an extra line you wanted to fill or what?
Yeah, extra line.
Stop giving our consultant a hard time.
Yeah, right, exactly.
He gets paid by the line, Dave.
Yeah, exactly.
You got it. So that will eventually come off. I'm just showing you that it was applied for and that it's yellow because it's going to come off.
Okay.
The other yellow one, gone. Yeah. The other yellow one is the tree maintenance one is because it's not a capital improvement project.
Correct.
It's a maintenance project. The other one, Old Deerfield Road Bridge, when I met with Jeff and we started talking about that bridge, it turns out that a couple of months ago, there was a process initiated between the town and New Hampshire DOT to try to get that bridge into what's called the State Aid Bridge Program.
Right.
And so that $873,000 cost is the state's cost estimate to replace that bridge. Well, under the State Aid Bridge Program, the state will cover 80 cents on the dollar of that $873,000 cost. However, you're also at the mercy of the timing of the State Aid Bridge Program. And what we know of the timing of it is if and when this bridge goes on the State Aid Bridge Program, it's probably going to be sometime between 2027 and 2032, depending on what the state's, you know,
which program is. Which is fine.
So it may not actually be in this CIP if it gets on the State Aid Bridge Program in 2030, 2031, or 2032. Yeah. That's why I've highlighted it in yellow here. It is a need. It is certainly a capital improvement need. That bridge is a need. Everybody recognizes it. It's a redless bridge. But depending on how that ends up getting programmed in the State Aid Bridge Program, it may not actually occur within the time period of the CIP. So it may not be included in the CIP just because it's going to happen later. Or it might happen within the CIP period.
Redless bridge, is that critically deficient, or is that...
Red list means there's three components of a bridge. The deck, the superstructure, and the substructure. The deck is what you drive over, substructure is what's in the ground, and the superstructure is what connects the substructure and holds the deck up. The state inspects all the bridges, and each of those components is assigned a rating based on the inspection results. And if any one of those components gets a rating less than 5 on this scale, then it is considered to have a structural deficiency. It doesn't mean it's going to fall down tomorrow or anything. It means it's something that needs to be dealt with. And it also means that the state's going to inspect it more often because they know there's something that needs to be dealt with there. So
that's why that one has a constant weight limit on it, too. Mm.
So it means there's a structural deficiency with that bridge that needs to be fixed. And I think the bridge, is it this bridge? This bridge is either dates back to 1920 or 1930.
Yeah.
So it's had its useful life, this bridge.
I imagine that red list is kind of lengthy.
There's a municipal red list and a state red list. So there's a red list for state-owned bridges and there's a red list for municipal-owned bridges. This is on the municipal red list. But it qualifies for that State Aid Bridge Program, and the town has started to pursue the process to get on the State Aid Bridge Program. So that's the only reason I have it yellow here, is just because depending on the timing, it may not actually occur before 2029. Yeah. Or it may. So, yeah, my suggestion would be that you meet with different department heads, because there's only so much you can really glean. This is a really good starting point, these forms. They give you some basic information about the thought process. I think it's useful to talk with the department heads, understand a little bit more about their thought process behind the different projects. And then that'll help you to be able to evaluate them. Because at the end of the day, you're going to look at this list of projects and you're going to say, certain ones of these are in and certain ones of them are out, based on your evaluation of the
need
of that
project.
Did get some
good news on the ambulance replacement.
What's that?
I said, I did get some good news on the ambulance replacement.
Yeah, what's that?
They've got the money to cover that.
Okay, yeah.
They sold that box truck for $135.
Something like that, yeah.
It's awesome.
So
the fire department has the money to cover it?
Nice.
No, the town does.
The town does?
Well, it's a town, yeah.
It goes back to the general fund, right?
Yes, yes.
So the BOS would have to disperse it back to them?
We'll have to go through whatever process it is to get that released, yep.
So see, that would be a good thing to know when we start looking at the financing.
Correct.
Aspect of
that's what I was saying. We got to have notes or something that lets people know that.
Yeah.
Calm down. You don't have to come up with $375,000.
Right.
You know.
And that's another thing that is good to come out of the discussions with the department heads, because you know obviously we're going to know what capital reserves exist. We're going to know how much is in those capital reserves. But being able to talk to the department head and saying, okay, so it's your plan to use this amount of this capital reserve for this project, and just making sure all of our ducks are in a row there. There's some complexity with the financing of different things, like the police cruiser replacements, for instance. You see, I've got 61,229 here. Well, they're really 46,229 and then 15,000 each of fit-up costs to make them a cruiser. There's the cost of the vehicle and then the cost of the fit-up cost.
Included in that 46.
I think it's
stuff like that may not
be. Yeah.
No, I don't think so. That sounds pretty cheap. If it's only $31,000, I'm going to go buy one.
Yeah.
I think that.
No, just the lighting packages and the laptop.
Yeah.
And all that stuff that they put in, they fold that cost into the car cost. So I'm thinking that. Yeah, I think that's right.
I think the way the chief did it was that 46,229 was the vendor quote for the vehicle, and then if you look in the note here, 15,000 for fit up. Because there's, you know, the safety equipment and everything that needs to go into the actual vehicle.
So I think that's a question that we'd ask the chief just to make sure.
Yeah. But I know
he told me that they were a little more expensive than what they used to be, but I didn't think it was 10,000 more.
But the fit up costs, when we get to the financing portion of this discussion, the fit up costs, they have a revolving detail account that typically can cover the fit up costs. So you know, they're even within these different projects, there may be multiple sources of financing for different aspects of the projects. So the cruisers will draw upon the revolving detail account for some of the fit up costs and through for other sources for the actual cost of the vehicle. When we get to that financing part of it, and you know, each of these different projects may have multiple funding sources. Yep. The trickiest ones are going to be the highway ones, because there aren't a lot of offsetting funding sources. Mm-hmm. There were a couple of the highway applications that had referenced some federal grants. I talked with Jeff about what federal grants they were targeting, and they're not.
Yeah, grants, I don't think
they're not going to happen for these types
of
projects.
Any
of these things,
they're
so
just like blanket road, you know, just
right.
Close to the road agent for
the only one that Dennis was working on was the one on North Road for the culverts that one.
But I FEMA related.
I got turned down to that, I believe.
He did. Yeah.
So that will be, and you know, it may be that you might want to meet with, you know, one of your meetings, just meet with Jeff for 45 minutes or so, because he's got two dozen projects here. And I think it's, you know, good for you to understand what his thought process was and some of the other, you know, the other projects that the way that he's laid out the different phases of these projects and his kind of plan. That would be my suggestion is maybe for the next two meetings, schedule a couple of department heads per meeting. You don't need to have them here all day or anything, but just to meet with them, meet with the ambulance, for instance, meet with the cemetery, meet with the fire chief, meet with Jeff, meet with the police chief, and meet with the solid waste. You could, not that any one of these may take a very long time, but I think it's important that you talk through any questions you may have about their projects, and it'll help inform your evaluation. Does that sound reasonable?
That's a nice mower for the cemetery, $10,000.
Yeah, we got to talk to Mark about that. I'll take one of those.
That's got to be a nice mower.
Yep.
I mean, it was even a commercial ones. What's that? Was that him?
It was a guesstimate.
What are you buying, a Cadillac?
Yeah. But like, if you go buy just a John Deere
$6,000
yard tractor with a bagger and stuff, it's $5,000 or $6,000.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And if you go
with the bagger, it's about seven.
If you go for a walk or, you know, like a high-end mower, which I don't think would really be appropriate for the cemeteries just because they're so steeply inclined.
You know what I...
They're
well, clients. That's on for another topic. I'm going to get off.
Thank you. All right. Anything else, Nate?
No. Does that sound like a plan?
It does. Yeah.
And I'm happy to be here, you know, for the portion of the discussions where when you're meeting with the department heads and be able to take notes and stuff because you know some of them have identified multiple funding sources. Yeah. You know, they've identified on the forums their opinion of where they think the funding should come from.
Right.
So
right.
That's something that you'll want to talk with them about as well. If they've identified that it's coming from a capital to reserve, or if they've identified that it's coming from a special account, or if they've identified that it should be a warrant article, you'll want to talk with them so that you're in agreement about what the logical funding source is for.
Well, part of this whole process on the RSA is that we need to get the planning board's not supposed to be doing this in a vacuum.
Right.
It's supposed to have the Board of Selectmen, also the Budget Committee involved, so it's a collaborative effort. And that's why I talked to Brian a little bit before the meeting, is that obviously we have Brian representing the Board of Selectmen, and I think I'd like to talk to Lynn Chivers to get someone from the Budget Committee to sit in those meetings too. Because I think from what we went through last year and the year before about some of the stuff with capital reserve funds, the Budget Committee had no clue about what we were looking to do. I'll give you the perfect example is when we were looking to get the money for doing the impact fees. As much as we try to explain it, well, if we have someone in here from the ground zero, this is not going to be a shock to them when they get it, and they won't know what to do with it. Well, it's going to be part of their input after we do this. So.
Yeah.
So I'll talk to Lynn and see. Just for those sections, anyway.
It'd be nice if Lynn could do it, but given the situation at home, then she may not be available.
I'll ask her if she would do it.
I'd like to see the chair. That would be nice.
I think that would be an excellent idea, personally. So, yeah. So I think we'll do that, and we'll.
Okay.
I know that we won't be able to have the fire chief here for the first meeting in June because they have their department meeting. We're all set. We could. I don't think they have anything on Wednesday nights. I think
no. Monday is their gig.
Yeah. Okay. Never mind. We'll check with everybody and see if we can get like maybe two.
Yeah. To come in. It's up to you if you want to have meet with more.
Well, I think you're right about the highway being totally separate from.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
yeah. You,
we can probably lump quite a few of the others.
Yes, exactly. You could probably lump quite a few of the others.
Rudy? Yes, Mark.
The comments about the cemetery. You guys didn't read it well. That's for the lawnmower and a trailer to haul it around on, because we got five different cemeteries scattered throughout the town.
All right, but now are you going to need one of the old cruisers to haul the trailer around, or? We could put that in,
No, I think they actually would use their vehicle to do that.
Okay.
Right, and they put in for mileage.
Yeah.
Right.
But you got to have, if you got a mower, now you got to transport it. The 10,000 was the mower and a trailer.
Well, that sounds a little better, Mark.
The thing is, the cemetery gives back to the town every year $10,500.
So it's self-funded.
So we could just not get it back and not put the CIP in.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
I'll talk to the department heads Okay. With Brian and see what we can schedule, because I know that the fire department will have probably three different people to go over there.
Sure.
Their stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think we need the selectmen's reps or anything on those, do you think? Just get the department.
Yeah, just the department. The selectmen's reps would be relatively clueless.
Your meetings in June are the 7th and the 21st, am I right?
Yeah.
Correct. I can definitely be here on the 7th. I can't be here on the 21st, but don't let me not being here hold you back from, you can meet with the department heads and bring me up to speed.
I may not be here myself.
On the 21st?
On the 21st.
Yeah. I'm not sure yet, but I don't know, a couple of weeks.
Headed up to camp?
Yeah, possibly.
Oh, nice.
When?
21st.
Nice. How long?
10 days.
Nice.
Yep.
Where are you going?
Ireland, Galway.
Nice. Where my entire family is from.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've actually got my Irish citizenship. I am.
No kidding.
Yeah. My wife, you know, always said that you can't be pure Irish. I mean, made to do a DNA test. 99.5% Irish DNA.
Wow.
I'm more Irish than most people in Ireland.
What percentage, Jimmy?
99.5.
Holy cow.
Don't try to tell that to an Irishman.
Do you drink?
Yeah.
All right. So
I'll plan to be here on June 7th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep me in the loop of who you schedule that night. That you can schedule them. Just let me know who we'll be meeting with, and I'll you know, prepare on my end and make sure.
All right.
If I have any questions or anything.
I'll talk to the department heads and see who's available. And
perfect.
We'd like Ryan said, we know that Jeff will take some time, so we won't schedule anybody else with him.
I mean, I met with
everybody else in one night, though. That's something they could, can make it. You know?
It could be.
Yeah, it could be. Depending, you know, I don't think we have much so far lined up for applications or anything. And, you know, it's 30 days out for us to act on any applications, and today's, what, the 24th, 17th? So, yeah.
Just to give you a sense, I met with Jeff for more than an hour, and I got through about half the projects with him. Half of his projects. He's got 2 dozen projects.
Yeah.
So, you know, I made it through about half that list with him in a little more than an hour. So
it might be, but if we've got nothing on the 7th, maybe I'll talk to Jeff to see if he might want to come in that night. And obviously everybody can go through his applications. I'll have Amy let everybody know.
Yep.
Schedule list.
Sounds good.
All right. Great.
Thanks. All right.
Quick question. Is Jeff's salt and storage facility the one that they're anticipating for the same location as the police station, or is that just
eventually that would be where we'd like to go? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's way up.
Yeah, I'd like to see this down here turned over to the cemetery.
Yeah,
makes sense.
Yeah. Amy, do you need these extras? Okay.
All right. Great. Thanks again, mate.
All right, no problem.
Nice job. Except for that tree maintenance.
Exactly.
A lot more detail where the parts of the road are, because the first ones we weren't quite sure.
Well, that was part of, you know, part of what I was walking through with Jeff was, okay, where is this starting? Where's
quarter
it?
Mile,
yeah.
Quarter mile.
It, pretty much, yeah. It's, you know.
Well, before the meeting, too, we were discussing that there's usually two ways to do roads. One of them is that you do them like Jeff is proposing in here. And the other one is that, well, okay, if he's looking for $2 million in road reconstruction, well, do a bond reconstruction or do a bond, spend that same amount of money every year and get all the roads done. The problem with that is that then you're going to do the same thing in like 10 years because you've got all these roads that are going to have to be done and you've done nothing for 10 years.
Right. So, that was tried one time and it died a huge death.
It did. But this, to me, it makes much
and
more
that
sense.
Was what?
Well, there's only so much time in a day.
35, 40 years ago, and it was $1 million.
Yeah.
No way.
Right. Well, see, that's one of the problems that I think we're going to have to deal with in all of this stuff, because, you know, you just look at the big items that are on there right now, the police station for $2.5 million, an engine for almost $900,000, $300,000 by the time we get done for an ambulance. You know, people see those numbers and they'll just, they'll have, you know, apoplexy because they think that the taxes are going to go up double. I think a lot of what we're going to have to wind up doing, and that's why, Nate, I was always talking about the Chester CIP, is that there's a lot of backup information and explanation that's in there that people can see so that you don't get sticker shock for these things. Because I know that, you know, it would be crazy for any of us to even think about going for a $3 million or $2 million increase in 1 year's budget to pay for the police station.
Right.
That's what I think. So,
yeah.
Again, I think you guys did a nice job on doing the proposals and how you handled that whole process.
I was really excited at the last work session we had. I shared it with Kevin and Mark at the last meeting there. But, yeah, I'm far more excited now than I was 6 months ago.
Good.
The one sneaky thing about bonding like that, though, is you say, okay, $2.5 million divided by 20 years, you have a number. But the interest at the rates now,
yeah,
that's serious money.
Yeah.
Your thinking isn't there until you see how much interest. Like the school project, there's a lot of interest being paid on that bond.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That when you don't have the money, that's the only way you can go.
Right. That's right.
So put it on your credit card.
Exactly.
So do it.
Okay, great.
All right, well, thanks,
thank
everyone.
You.
Thanks, Nate.
Yeah,
thank
you.
Yep, nice job.
No, I'm happy to help.
All right, Cam, you're up.
All right. Is he in here?
Yeah. All right. So
Cam got for us?
Hawk Grant, Housing Opportunities Planning. So I guess just a couple updates from the last meeting. One of them being is the Housing Academy has started.
Yeah.
Amy, myself, and I believe Andrea has.
Yeah,
oh, I think I did see you on the screen. So yeah, those have been good. They're going to keep going through June. And so anyway, there's been a couple other things since the last meeting that I said I would do. One was a press release that Amy now has, and then one's kind of like a help wanted. Mm-hmm. For a couple volunteers, for residential volunteers.
She said something.
I put a copy of both of those in all their folders.
Oh, so excellent. Nice. So yeah, I put looking for volunteers by June 1. I thought that'd be, I don't know if that's reasonable enough. Maybe we can extend it. Those are drafts, you know, as far as, you know, if you guys have comments on them.
I've got a couple of reviewed them.
Yep.
Those are mine. The one for the Candy Award, $25,000 planning grant.
Yep.
It looks good, but there's a little sensitivity about using the term Candy Master Plan in this, because we're not redoing the master plan, per se. And the board did get some kickback, mm-hmm. some pushback on asking why we were spending money on the master plan when the master plan was not that far.
Yeah. In the past. Okay. Yeah.
So I think what I would suggest is that it be pushed more towards an update of the housing section of the master plan or something along that line.
Yep.
So it kind of minimizes the master plan portion of it and maximizes the housing.
Okay. I can do that. I will, I'll update that tomorrow and I can send it around. See if you like that, the wording change.
I also think too, Rudy, to add to that point, I think that people right now, you know, if you talk to citizens, how they are worried about housing and affordable housing and, you know, their kids being able to stay in town and stuff. So that might actually have a little extra oomph for some people to get involved.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's a good point, because in our master plan, there is a section on there that we do refer to the fact that we'd like to have housing in Candia that is available to all, you know, economic levels or something along that line. Yeah. I can't remember exactly how it was put in there.
But. So I think if we couch it that way a little bit more, that it might actually get more response.
Instead of what is a master plan, you might say, Candia already has a master plan, but there's been such a huge focus on housing that needs to be specifically addressed, and this is updating that, or like something like that.
Okay, yeah, this is good feedback.
I don't know, that paragraph right under volunteers needed, I think.
Yeah, but I can add, I could localize it a little bit more, so it, you know, here's the existing, you know, vision for housing in Candia from the existing master plan, you know, and just explain that this is only going to be looking at, you know, updating sections of the master plan related to housing. This won't be a full, you know, comprehensive update. So yeah, let me work that out. I'll send it to I'll send it to Amy, and you can pass it around to everybody.
Part of the housing authority, the housing academy that we're in, I've kind of recognized that I don't think people in Candia really think about housing. Like, they have a house. Like, they don't think about other housing issues because everyone's life is going full speed and they have a house. And
they know they don't want anybody to build next to them.
So it's interesting, like, some of the different towns have different things. We don't have many of them because we haven't needed to.
Well, you know, that's a great point. And on the flip side of that, though, is that a lot of the people that are in Candia, like I'll use myself and Brian, for example, that, you know, there's not very many opportunities for any young people to purchase a house in Candia or live in Candia because it's priced right out of existence. Mm-hmm. So that whole thing would appeal to someone that says, like, well, you know, my son or my daughter would love to live in Candia, but they can't, unless you give them the land.
Right. But like I was, you know, we had a side discussion today, and it occurred to me, half of marriages in America end in divorce, right? So if you think about divorces where the guy usually has to leave... He's got to leave town. Like, he can't be in the same town as his kids because there's no place for a guy to have an apartment or something like that.
I left the state, so, you know, that's just me.
Right. But, you know, it's like there's a lot of it that way. But it's like, you know, you couldn't have somebody be able to stay here because there isn't any place.
Yeah. Good. I mean, I was lucky one of our kids lives on Chester Turnpike, but they happen to find a good bargain. But it's hard for a young couple to find a place to live here.
Don't have a bunch of interrupting contacts. Brian had a really good point. That second paragraph on the volunteers needed, I have to agree. I think that's
pretty much states it without
great summary.
Without, you know, capitalizing on the master plan,
right.
The emphasis is on the housing.
Right.
Of the town's master plan,
So, you know, I don't know if I would lead right in with that, I think, instead of leading in with that first paragraph.
Okay.
That.
You could swap those paragraphs.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds good.
And then I thought that the next one was good. I don't know, and this is something for the board's discussion on, do we really want to limit it to 5 to 7?
That was just I just threw out a number. There can be more than that. Because you'll be the decision makers. You know, that'll be a steering group. You know, they're not adopting the master plan. You know, it can be as many people.
The interesting part is in your first paragraph, you know, he's saying, like, come on in.
Yeah.
Then on the third paragraph, which is now the second paragraph, he's saying, but only 7 of them.
Yeah, I don't know how we'll make that call. Like, let's say 30 people sign up. I'm not sure how we're going to want to.
We'll be lucky if we get
three.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying.
If you look at the audience here today, it might end the
yeah. Well, but, you know, with everything that's gone on in the last year and stuff, you might be surprised that if we put this out to saying, like, hey, look, and Scott alluded to something right here that still kind of smarts on the board is we did a phenomenal amount of work with Southern New Hampshire Regional Planning to do the Village District because that's what was in the master plan. Mm-hmm. And it got shot down big time. And I think part of it was that we didn't get enough outside input during the development of it. Because, I mean, we definitely did our due diligence.
It's easy to spread fear, you know, like with social media. Like, it's easy. People will respond to negativity and thought, like, somebody put in a, we did that, somebody put in a picture of the Manhattan skyline. It's like, come on, really?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, we don't want to become a Hooksit. We're not going to become a Hooksit. It's like, but basically, I think as a board, we have to continue to do good planning. Like, we thought we did good planning, and people didn't support it. But again, we go back to the fact that it's 800 people that come out in March, and there's 22.
Right, you got to keep waving that flag.
Yeah. And that 800 people is the, you know, the median age is like 103. I mean, that's what you're going to get. You're not. We got blown out of the water, what, four, was it 4-1, Rudy? I mean, so. Right.
At least 3-1.
You know, so, but we at least have to stay, well, because I think what the people don't realize is a board, we're trying to balance what's going on the state level, come into compliance with state law. So as planners, we do have to do things, and then we just put it out to the people, and they say, no, we don't want it, and I'm like, okay, and then I'll go, we'll do that for the next, like, 30 years, and then it'll change, you know what I mean? But right now, it's like, we're not going to pass it, but still got to keep laying the groundwork for a good plan. You know?
The funny thing was is that this board is always trying to be transparent and open, and one of the things that Scott had suggested, it's just like, well, let's do a build-out analysis and see what the financial aspects of it was. Well, the financial aspects came out very, very positive.
Right.
But the only thing is people looked at it and says like, oh, God, they're going to build 400 houses next year.
That was the maximum build. Yeah, right, we needed, like, you know, we could dig another whole run at this after we do our review of all our ordinances, and we could take another run and say, okay, it's just... You can't just throw in the towel forever.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Well, I think this is probably between all these three grants. I think that hopefully we'll pull more people in to understand what's going on and not, you know, just go off the handle because they take one little meme in there and says, like, you know, 400 houses. Like,
no. Plus, if a developer comes in and, you know, we're like the poster child for multi units, we know, you know, and so. At least we can say, well, as a planning board, we were trying to advise the populace, you know, but the populace kept saying, no, we don't, you know, so I'm like, we're trying to point you in the right direction. If they won't come with us, you know what I mean, then we'll be able to say when somebody big comes in with a whole bunch of acreage and they challenge some of this stuff and it's like, they're like, oh, gee, well, how did that happen? Like, well, we've been trying to explain it to you guys. Yeah. But I think the education part is important.
Yeah.
And hopefully maybe someday it catches on. They realize that we have to, you know. But I'm the same way. Okay, look, just for instance, I know we have a housing crisis. You see it in the paper all the time, and I'm like, yep, I'm all for, you know, we got to solve it. But if for instance, where I spend time in the winter, there's an island across the way, and it's uninhabited, and so we hear rumors that Jesus, you know, somebody might buy that out, you know, and your first reaction is, oh shit, they're gonna take. Like, my first reaction is they're going to take away my view. Mm-hmm. It's not, oh, am I happy they're going to have a place to live. right? So we all think about that. What are we losing, you know? And then I said, well, no, I said, that'd be fine. But it's a natural, what I'm saying, it's a natural human tendency to say not somewhere else. Like, we know we need workforce housing, let's do it in Manchester.
Right.
Well, let's you know, pull it back in a little bit.
Real me and Rudy.
They're good comments, Scott. I just want to make sure that we bring them in at the right time. So now we're just going to go over this stuff.
I'll tell you, I will agree that I think we pulled a number of people in there. Because, I mean, I don't think it's a big deal either way, but I mean, I think, if we got 30 people, I think that'd be great.
Yeah, this is a start.
If we get,
I don't know. I think that'd be tough to manage.
Well, let's. I would suggest that we get rid of the 5 to 7 members on there, but the steering committee will consist of, you know, public members.
Yeah, town staff, planning board members.
But I want to make a big thing about citizen input.
Yeah.
Minimize the planning board, department, and stuff like that. And the other suggestion I would have is eliminate the two bottom ones.
Okay.
Because it's too long. people won't read it.
Yeah, right. That's fine.
Now, what does it mean by throughout the chapter, third paragraph, throughout the chapter development? What is chapter development? I'm not chapter seeing that in context.
I guess I could just say throughout the process of, because we will be updating chapters of the master plan or right. sections.
Okay. So would the general public know what that is? Like, I mean, I wasn't here for the master plan. So I'm like, that's so going like, not. Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, let me, I'll change that. That's okay. a little plan,
yeah.
Planary speak.
Or parts
yeah.
of the, yeah, throughout the parts of the master plan or something like that, so people know what you're referring
yeah,
to.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
I'm going to disagree with you at knocking out both things on the bottom. I agree with what is a master plan.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to keep that bold, why is this important, in a gray box, and not make it what's there, but make it why is it important for citizens of the town to get input, blah, 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 you know, like, so that'll be a little grabber summary piece.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, just...
We could also,
that,
like...
Make this, that just, like, a thing that kind of stands alone, a little white space around it, so that there's a... Read this section,
mm-hmm.
right? And they'll read that, and, you know, I think that can be a good grabber summary.
So, but you know what, I
so
think...
So this could also be two separate documents we're talking about here, too. We could have a volunteers needed that can be posted, and then I could make a, you know, kind of an infograph or something... that talks about all those things, you know.
Well, I think following up on what Tim said, though, is if you incorporate something like is what's found and why is it important
mm-hmm.
with the second paragraph, the now second paragraph, instead of talking about, where was I? Just kind of lost it when I was looking at it. Oh, no, I'm sorry, it was on the first paragraph, where it says the steering committee will prepare the vision, goals, and strategies, future land use, and other housing-related chapters of the town's master plan. If we could, as Linda had said, if we could kind of not use the technical aspects of what we're doing
mm-hmm.
and kind of gear it more towards the person who doesn't have a clue.
The layman's language.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. yeah.
Because we all, I mean, we're sitting at the board. Yeah, we know all that stuff. Yeah. Is, but, you know,
yeah,
real people
fine.
Out there, like,
yeah.
they don't have a clue.
Yeah.
No.
And they're just kind of like, oh, like, what?
Yeah.
You know, it's something to the effect of, I don't know how to put this, but I'll just put it in. It's like,
mm-hmm.
It's your opportunity to shape the housing
Candia
situation in Candia.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
I think that's a, why is it important?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Keep something separate. Why is it important? Here's why. Shape the future housing.
Change is coming whether you like it or not.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Change
is
yeah. yeah.
Shape the future housing situation in Candy and
yeah.
you know, and allow your kids to be able to buy a house here someday. Maybe, possibly,
unless
could be.
You can afford 100 acres. And keep it
okay.
Because I guess, yeah. Because I wouldn't put anything in there about requirements by law.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
That
needs
yeah.
to be
it
a marketing
scare us off.
Type
yeah.
Thing. Right.
Yeah.
That needs
yeah.
to be a sales job. This is why you need to be
okay.
part of it.
Yeah, and we get the
as much as we would like Candy in a time capsule, that can't happen.
This, yeah,
really?
Mayberry RFD doesn't actually exist anymore.
Right.
But see, the thing is that great point that you bring up. But the other thing is that how do we get to that change? The change is not going to happen overnight, because people obviously won't accept it.
Right.
So. You know, how do we convince people that we don't want to change the rural nature of the town? However,
mm-hmm.
We need to have a nice, robust community. And the way we're going to do that is to get more people in here that aren't just like, you know, old people that can afford
yeah,
you know, $500,000 houses when they retire. Because they sold
right.
their house for $1 million somewhere else. So that's... I can't stress that enough, that we just have to make sure that it's understandable by lay people what we're doing, and here's your chance to be part of it instead of being negative all the time.
It's almost like we almost have to take everything that was done in the past and assume that maybe there wasn't really good logic for some of the things. Like, you look at the mixed use, for instance. Why hasn't anybody done anything? Well, not advantageous to do so. Like, mm-hmm. So I think we got to look at it. We should look at everything. So if we're going to have workforce housing, maybe it should be where the water is down by Severino, down by the Raymond Line, or whatever. We should at least come up with like sort of in the modern day.
You're
once in a while, Rudy, you get to talk 90% of the time. Once in a while, we can take a minute.
But you bring up some great, great points. Right, I just want to make sure that we get them in there at the right point.
I know. I'm not going to wait forever. if I let you talk, Rudy, it'll take me 5 years before I get to say it.
No, we're just going to do what you want to do. That,
you know, I think it's important. That's all.
Yeah, it is. It there's no question. But hopefully, I'm assuming you're going to be involved with this too, because that's going to be one of the high points of this whole exercise, is to get that kind of stuff into the final documents that we have.
Yeah.
We get that other money, and we get that guy, that George Regan, that will look at a community and say, hey, what's the best mix? And then it's a third party saying to the community members, hey, like a lot of people think the best mix is to put everything in the current use. Thus, we know we're just going to decay. So somebody will come in and look at Candy and say, hey, this is what you want. You want this mix of commercial, residential, blah, blah, blah. This is what the numbers are saying. This is good planning. If we do that, that's the best we can do.
Yeah.
Let's make sure one thing, too, is that this is another thing that the board got criticized on, is that the feeling was is that the board's not doing the planning. We're having outside people do the planning and telling the board what to do. So we have to kind of be fine on, or, you know, not a fine line on that. But
we still have to have good consultants. We still have absolutely. To have experts that come in to inform and teach.
Absolutely.
Board, you know, that we can reach to, hey, this is what this guy does every day. This is what we've learned. Hey, guys, you might want to, you know, rather than me saying it as a board, they'll say, well, what credibility do I have? So if we bring that person into, you know,
The credibility is you live in Candia, so you're going to have to live with whatever we come up with.
Yeah, and I think like this first phase of this like really affords that kind of educational and outreach opportunities where, you know, Southern New Hampshire Planning Commission is going to be doing, you know, a needs analysis. We're going to be looking at data, but we're also going to be doing the community outreach side of it. So it's going to be educational for residents, but it's also going to be educational, you know, it's for the board and residents, right? Yeah. Like, so the next part of it, which I hear what you're saying on this piece of paper, this document, I'm going to mess with that. But I think what we should move into kind of briefly is that next phase of this grant that we talked about last time. And I think we only talked about phase two. But so I have here a very draft. This isn't the application, but it would end up part of it. It's just scope of work for the phase two and three. And so
I want to ask Scott a question. Scott,
yeah.
What is George's involvement now that we've got the grant? What would he be
George
doing
is a
for
good,
us?
He's just a good resource. Like I said, he said he'll look and say, well, you know, you guys have a lot of flexibility, but like he did mention this guy, I forget his Italian name, but he's like out of North Carolina, but he said, you know, he says, I think it would be smart to have a guy like that, like not Francisi, he's a guy from around here, but not Peter Francisi, but anyway, a name kind of like that. So I don't know, he's just a good guy, and then, you know, I think he gets a say on the 50,000 thing, so, mm-hmm. you know, that's why when George looks at it and he likes, you know, like he's been a good advocate for Candir, and he likes kind of like what we're doing, so the money's out there, so I don't know.
Yeah, there's a list of like these qualified consultants that are approved by New Hampshire Housing. It's a big list. We know many people on that list, all really good firms and planners. And so I've talked to a few of them. I've talked to a few towns when coming up with this. So this is for the phase two and three. Phase two is a regulatory audit. And then the phase three is development of the regulations. If you want to go for phase three, we can. That deadline is not until, I believe, like October or November. Phase two is due in June. And I don't feel crunched for time on that. I think we can, you know, within the next two planning board meetings, I think we can get it done. But so I just wanted to put this in front of you as like a potential menu of options of what it could look like. And when I was driving over here, I was kicking myself because I know there's not a town council here. There's a board of selectmen. And this, I have town councilors on here, so you gotta bear with me. Yeah, but so you know what we'd be looking at potentially. And I wanted to just give this to you, and you guys can think about it over the course of the next couple of weeks. So what you could do with that money with a consultant is do a zoning ordinance audit, looking at every single land use regulations in town, your site plans, your subdivision regs, a build out analysis, and it can kind of build on the build out analysis that was previously done and the fiscal analysis. More like extensive public outreach on all of this, developing recommendations, and then that would then feed into, you know, if the town feels ready to develop those new regulations that would kind of come out of this process.
Phase two was,
I like that.
So it was 50K, right?
50, yeah.
And how much for phase three?
I think like 100 or so.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Up to.
Yeah.
Still,
that's we'd still have to justify it.
Yeah.
I've got a question on this, though, is that in phase two,
yep.
If you've got a development of recommendations,
mm-hmm.
To the existing regulations. What more do we get out of phase three?
The actual.
I think, you know, you would have to, they would write them. You know, you'd have to have many public meetings where you're going to be going over them, probably painstakingly. They'd probably be, your town attorney would have to look at them. That is a good question, though. I